Hi, this is Mike.
Big old howdy, this is Dave.
And a yippity-dippity-doo, this is Matt. And you're listening to, I didn't say it's watching, but you're listening to the Empty Spiral Podcast, the official podcast of the Lacuna Core community. It is the end of November, 24th of November, to be precise. And outside, is he Storm Bert or whatever it is? He's blustery and blowing bits all over my roof and stuff like that.
But we are pissing down with horrible rain.
I'm pissing down with horrible rain. But we are snuggled up, you know, well, not together, that'd be weird, in our very different places of abode in different parts of the country, just so that we're clear. It's not that kind of podcast. And we're here to talk about Lacuna Core. And it is episode 165 of the podcast. And we've probably got a few things to talk about, actually. But before we do, let's find out how everybody is. So, Dave, how are you doing, sir?
I'm still yippity doing, as you put it.
Yippity dippity doing.
Yeah, okay. I'm a happy Larry. I am, because the month's gone really, really quickly since the end of the tour, but I'm still thinking about it, so it's pretty fresh in my mind.
Yeah,
and it was a lovely time. So I'm just enjoying the post tour blues, I guess.
You're enjoying the post tour blues.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Maybe they're not blues anymore. Maybe they're just a post tour pleasant memories.
Yeah, or perhaps it's just a delayed effect. The blues part hasn't quite hit me yet. So.
Right, okay.
I'm eking it out as long as possible. Memories.
I think you've gone through them on the other side. I don't think you can be this long with you in the blues. The blues is the thing that hits you the next morning when you've got to get up and do mundane stuff like go to work. That's when the blues hits you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I have been bumbling through work, but I think my mind's been elsewhere.
Right, don't worry. I won't tell them. All right, so you've been to the post-tour, not maybe blues, maybe not. All right. Mike, how about you? What have you been up to? How have you been? So are you still in the blues?
Well, I've had no time to think about anything blues-wise. It's been very busy at work, non-stop.
Yeah. You're either at work or commuting to and from Italy, right?
Yeah, I'm going next Thursday. So.
Right, okay. How long are you going for?
Till the following Monday.
Okay.
Yeah. Last trip of the year. I was going to go in December, but December just becomes a mess with the weather and strikes and everything. So there's a general strike on Friday. So I'm lucky I'm flying Thursday, because otherwise it wouldn't happen. So dodged a bullet with that.
Dodged a bullet indeed. Indeed,
yeah.
You have.
Nasty over again. Yeah.
As for me, I definitely went through the blues, postal blues. Came out the other side, survived it, and I've started to think about Christmas, but my only thoughts about Christmas is I haven't done any Christmas shopping yet, and I really ought to do some, because I know it's going to catch up with me in December. And as you all know, I picked up some stuff while we were on tour, some nerdy gaming miniature stuff, and I've started painting. I've started getting my little fine brushes out.
Cool.
And my airbrush, which is that thing over there that I'm pointing at. For those of you watching in black and white, the airbrush is next on my desk. I've been, painting some miniatures out of board games. Started painting my Black Hawks from my Blood Bowl team. It's all very geeky, but I find it quite relaxing.
I'm going to have to try some of like a test run on painting some of the miniatures, because...
Yeah.
At some point, I think possibly next year, we might have the Zombicide game coming. That for those with the coil miniatures.
You will, yes, you did.
I don't want to fuck up their one, so I'm going to have to practice on a dummy run on something else first.
Well, you'll certainly have enough miniatures in the White Death board game, and that's even if you didn't presume. I don't know if you bought any add-ons or anything, but even if you just got the base set, it's probably going to be about 80 miniatures in there. So
you'll plenty to get wrong first.
You'll get a lot of opportunities to get it wrong. Maybe we could do a painting day or something. We can arrange how to paint your miniatures so that you don't fuck up your coil miniatures when you get them. So
that'd be an
interesting one. I must admit, I've been trying to get a second set of the miniatures. I even reached out to Cool Mini or to Simon. And they didn't give me an option, because you know when you did the pledge manager, I was like, can I get an extra Lacuna Core box so I can leave one in the box and I can paint the set? But I didn't get the option, so I'm gonna keep trying. So we'll see. But yes, I like you. There will definitely be some miniatures coming my way next year. The hardest part is finding a place to store it. My man cave is literally to the ceilings with board games, and I've got nowhere to put this stuff now. Mike, did you do the zombie side Kickstarter?
I don't think I did. I'll have to check. I'm not sure whether I did now.
You're gonna miss out on a little box of Lacuna Coil miniatures. Paint. So yeah, I'm quite excited for that, I have to say.
I can't remember. I'll need to check. It might be something that arrives.
Your box it arrives.
Nice surprise.
Very nice. Good game, Zombieside. So that's kind of me. I suppose let's talk about Lacuna Coil news, actually. There's been some announcements recently, isn't there? Some tour announcements in the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
We've had the US tour, which is in April, which we kind of knew was coming because, of course, they were playing Las Vegas. So you don't go all the way to Las Vegas just for one show. That's just for one gig, do you? I don't think. I don't think Lacuna Coil would. The cost of getting everybody over there, you know, it's not like they're a local band. It's not like they live even in the US. They've got to fly everybody over, do however long they're going to get at the festival in Las Vegas. So it probably came as no surprise to any of us that have been following them for a while when they announced that they're on a tour, which basically runs from the beginning of April all the way through to about the middle of May. And that's with Machine Head, who I saw at Hellfest this year, headlining on the Friday night. So it's Machine Head, In Flames, Unearth. That's a pretty heavy lineup, actually. It's a pretty big lineup, I think.
Yeah. And so, I think the most interesting thing about that collaboration is very much a tour package, is the song that they did, which I'm assuming you were going to mention as the other announcement as well.
Yeah, absolutely. These Scars Won't Define Us, is that right? Am I right in thinking this? Yeah.
Yes.
That's the song, isn't it? Yes. Yeah, we probably need to give some thought about that song at some stage and maybe do like a little mini review or something. We haven't done that with other collaborations, not with a whole episode dedicated to it, but we probably need to think about it. So there has been the song. We do have the tour. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get over to the US to see any of these. I'm guessing, Mike, you're going to try to because it's early days, isn't it, to be thinking about stuff like that, I think.
But the main problem with it is that it's the East Coast stuff is right around Easter, and flights at Easter are horrendously priced. So it's unfortunate that it's over Easter, and when you'd want to come back is over the May bank holiday. So it's double fun for us. But
I might try and get to like two or something like that.
I'm thinking five or six maybe, but only on the East Coast.
It would be, I don't know, what is the East Coast?
Well, they're playing Brooklyn, Boston, those two.
Yeah, maybe April 23rd, 25th. So you got Reading, Boston.
Yeah.
And then it's right up to Montreal and Toronto, so it's into Canada. So
yeah,
it looks like it probably would be Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's the kind of place I really like to go. I wouldn't mind seeing San Diego, and I can take or leave Los Angeles. We talked about that before. Seen Salt Lake City. Wouldn't mind getting to somewhere like Minneapolis.
And Detroit.
Maybe Chicago. I've always wanted to go to Chicago, which is obviously along the same latitude as Detroit, just across, as it were, across Minnesota. No, Michigan, sorry, get my states right, across Michigan. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's, if I go, it's most likely going to be, like you said, Brooklyn, Reading and Boston.
I suppose the greatest disappointment, if that's the right word, is that it's a support slot, so it's going to be a much shorter set time, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
We'll get 40 minutes, though.
Second
on the bill, so they'll get 40.
Are they going to kind of? I wondered if they were going to kind of alternate with In Flames, though. I didn't know whether or not it was going to be some nights Lacuna Coil.
Possibly. It depends, I guess, where they sell biggest. Brooklyn will sell out first, I suspect.
Yeah.
Montreal and Toronto will be sellouts. Other dates, looking at it, not convinced.
Yeah. But we'll see.
Are the venue sizes? I didn't actually look at those.
I don't know, actually. I've not even looked at that in any great detail yet.
I've seen some of them, the Mike Carr Academy sizes.
Yeah, I mean,
we don't ever play bigger in the US.
You'd expect the lineup would draw a slightly bigger crowd, wouldn't you? You know, Machine Head would draw a crowd in the US for sure.
And In Flames, possibly similar to the kind of call.
Yeah, about around. So yeah, I don't know. I'm going to guess Academy size is a few thousand.
Yeah, be nice.
Reasonable size. We'll see. I can make no promises. I can certainly save my money to make it happen. It's whether or not there are other logistical things I need to be concerned about that might stop that. So that's the
festivals as well.
Yeah. A few festivals next year coming up. Absolutely. So it's looking pretty sweet, actually, which is kind of what we'd expect given the album coming out in February. And of course, let's not forget, probably the luckiest people, as it were, is the South American tour.
Yeah.
Because, of course, that's a month after the album comes out. So you would expect quite a serious injection of new songs into the set list at that point.
Yeah, I think
it's called the Sleepless Empire Tour.
I think it would be what we've already had and maybe one other, because they don't seem to deviate over the last three or four tours, do they, of the set list? One drops in, one drops out.
I reckon it'd be more than that.
Yeah, and so do you not think they'd push a couple more?
I reckon it'll be at least two more from the album. I think we'll see.
Yeah, they'll do six, won't they? So half a set.
Yeah. And that's what, looking at that, that's in March from the 12th to the 23rd.
See, I've always fancied Brazil to go and see them, but it's logistically difficult.
They're playing four shows in Brazil, aren't they?
Yeah, it's always popular there. I'd love to see them there.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure I can get over to Brazil. But if you go, you know, have fun for me, as it were.
Yeah. KLM, direct from London.
A direct flight? No, that'll never work. Sure.
Yeah, I've done a direct flight. I think you have to fly to Holland. That's the way I went to Brazil. You go out, Schiphol to Rio, and it's 14 and a half hours. So
okay, yeah.
Long way.
And if we move forward to July, we've got Lucas Summer Festival.
Yeah.
With Till Lindemann.
Yeah.
So there's that. And Estonia, which is an interesting one, up in Tallinn Rock Festival.
And then Bloodstock,
yes. And also around Bloodstock time, we've got Malta Culture Festival in France.
Yeah, I think there's going to be more added, I would think, because normally in the past... Drip feed, don't they? And then they'll start adding a few more.
Once you're on the festival circuit, you're going to be doing a few of them, aren't you? Because it's the circuit. So I don't know if I'm going to get to any of those festivals. Even Bloodstock's a challenge for me because it tends to clash with family things I've got to do. So don't know. Yeah. We'll see. Anyway, lots to report. Obviously, all of this is on Empty Spiral and on the Lacuna Core websites. Most of their news goes through Facebook these days, but you will see the latest dates on lacunacore.com and our own live links should all be up to date. I need to double check them, actually, but they should all be up to date. So you've got no excuses if you want to find out more about what Lacuna Core are playing next year. Suffice to say, it's going to be a year of new album and lots of live shows. Let's hope, because, you know, we know the pattern by now. We're going to see the US, South America, US. We're going to see festivals. And then late in the year, we're going to see hopefully, fingers crossed, a European tour.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would expect, right? I mean, you just need to look at all the album cycles and the way that the bands in Lacuna Core, especially, tour. It's always around that October, November, into December, depending on the length of the tour. I would imagine it'll be across Europe with a few shows. I doubt we'll get as many shows in the UK as we've got with the Meantime tour. Three or four in the UK, and then France, Germany, Italy.
Germany always does well. It gets about seven.
Yeah. Not that we're jealous. We'd have no right to be jealous because we just had a full tour. But, that's our prediction for essentially this time next year.
Mm. Watch this space.
Watch this space. Listen to this podcast and we'll tell you all about it. Right, speaking of tours, we were going to share some reflections on the In the Meantime tour, the UK tour that took place in October. Feels like a lifetime ago, but really, really wasn't. Started in Ireland, right, in Belfast and then Dublin.
Yep.
And then came to England.
Could you argue it actually started in France because they had the warm-up show?
Yeah, I kind of...
No, I don't count that. That's a warm-up.
My French, yeah, that I don't... Yeah,
you can't. We don't count that, it's French.
Well, no, not at all. So I love my French friends. You can't really count it as part of the UK In the Meantime tour. And I doubt our French colleagues over the channel would like it to be a part of the UK
that is true.
In the Meantime tour. So I think it's a call. I actually don't, and I'm even sure I call it a warm-up. Warm-up kind of Thursday's not taken quite so seriously. It was a great one-off show in, is it Lyon? It was Lyon on the way up. You know, they obviously traveled across Europe in their bus, stopped up there, played a show, carried on moving to the United Kingdom. So it was a great opportunity for people in Lyon to get a chance to see Lacuna Coil. But once they're in the United Kingdom and Northern Ireland, they played in Belfast, they played in Dublin, and came down to Bournemouth, and then up to Manchester, I want to say.
Yep.
And then up to Glasgow, and then randomly down to Wolverhampton because reasons. And then up like they were drawing rude signs or something across the map of England, or these zigzags. And then up to Nottingham, down to London, and then across to Bristol, which was the last show. Yeah. Did I get that right? I think I got that
right.
Spot on. Okay. Cool. All right. So, and they played the same set with a couple of additions for, I think it was just London. They played the extra songs.
Yeah. Two extra.
So, reflections. I think it's what we probably do is kind of do this in a, you know, what are your highlights? What did you like the most about the tour? Whether it was during the show, before the show, after the show, what made it memorable for you? And we'll take it from there. So let's start with Dave. Dave, I know you've been reflecting for the last 4 weeks now, or probably on this stuff. So I'm sure you're busting to tell us about your reflections on the show, of the tour, I should say.
Yeah, there are plenty of highlights, and it's, as you know, it's always difficult trying to pick out key one or two things, because the tour itself, the fact that they were there touring, was the highlight. So I think that in itself was my number one highlight. You know, we got the full tour, and I managed to do, I'll say all of them. I didn't do the Irish dates, but all the mainland ones.
Yeah.
So I actually got the opportunity to take in the show properly. I've said before that watching a Lacuna Coil show in one show is very difficult, because apart from anything else, it goes by in a flash. You've got so many favorites, you're singing along all the time. Before you know it, you start the first song and then it's the last song immediately. So seeing seven shows in a row gave me the opportunity to slow things down a little bit, step back and look for different factors in each show. So there was some of the ones I was down on the barrier right at the front, so taking that view in was one scene. I was by the sound desk for another show, so you get to see, encapsulate the whole of the visuals, as almost like watching it like a DVD or something like that. So like a more of a cinematic approach,
the video approach.
For the London show, I was seated up on the circuit.
Yeah, I didn't know you were seated up there, actually. That's really interesting. It was only after I saw your pictures, like, oh, what are you doing up there? I was very surprised by that, but okay, we'll come back.
Yeah, no, that was, again, because it was a different perspective.
Yeah.
And because that was the biggest show of the tour, and looking down on it from pretty much a bird's eye view was really, really good, actually. That was probably my favourite part of the whole tour. Not necessarily the normal gig experience you look for when you perhaps want to be surrounded by all the fellow coilers. You're in the throng and you're leaping up and down, you're shouting the lyrics back, you're fist pumping, whatever it is, and there's people all around you and you really get swallowed up in the atmosphere. And that's what it was like on much of the other dates when it was, you know, down the front near the barrier. But sitting up viewing it, set not disjointedly, but separately almost. Although you still get the surrounded by a lot of the atmosphere, and there's still people around singing like yourself as well. It's more, it's calmer and more pleasant to watch from afar. And it's almost like you're reviewing it, I suppose, rather than being in it, but reviewing it while it happens. And seeing this huge, lovely venue, really first time I've been to the Roundhouse, but it's a nice venue. You're seeing the band and the crowd side by side. So yes, I'm watching both right together.
Yeah.
And again, it's piecing this whole package together. You're not just watching the band. You're not just looking at the visuals. You're not just listening to the songs. It's the crowd as well. You're people watching. You're seeing the reaction real time between the band and the crowd. And that was fantastic. I really, really did enjoy that. And got some great views as well.
Mm. Do you, would that be your choice to see every concert from there?
No, I like mixing it up. That's what I was saying. I had almost a plan, certainly on some of the shows, to at least have different perspectives.
Yeah.
That does work. And I'd say that across any gig. Uh-huh. I wouldn't necessarily pick the same vantage point for every show I go to.
Okay.
I do like to, move around. There's, go to the middle, go to the front, sometimes at the back, sometimes the bird's eye seated view. That might depend on the band as well, and yes, or how tired I'm feeling at the time.
Yeah, normally when I get to my age, it's definitely, do I need to sit down, rest these tired legs or prop the bar up or something like that. Yeah.
But the key, I think, is to not make it feel stale.
Is this have you been to any other tours where you've seen lots of shows?
Not to this degree, no. About 2010, I think it was, I did about four.
Could have been five, actually. This is definitely not the first time you've done multiple shows, because I was going to get your views on someone who doesn't do that many shows. So having done as many as we did back to back, I'm not going to say it's boring, because it definitely isn't. You need to find different perspectives, don't you? Because you kind of know what's coming. It's not like it's so scripted that you can predict every single move or everything word that's said. It's not like that. So it's not like watching a film six or seven times over. No. I'm just interested to know whether or not going to see this same show day after day after day changes your perspective as a fan.
No, it doesn't. Other than reinforces the respect I've got for them, because one thing that keeps coming up again and again in all reviews, magazines or interviews they do, is consistency. So many different people, different reviewers, use that word to describe them, and they do have a consistently brilliant live performance. And certainly seeing them seven times back to back does reinforce that. It cements their reputation, I think.
I was just on the consistency and how people. No, actually, no, I won't spoil it. I've got an anecdote.
No, go on.
I've got to share.
Got to run with this now.
So, reflecting on the energy and the consistency and the fact that it feels like every new show, we say this quite a few times, they get a new fan, do you know what I mean? Someone comes along with different expectations and then gets blown away by their performance. I don't know if you've... I hear this also. So I was going to say, one of the highlights of the tour for me happened in the toilets at the Roundhouse, all right?
All right, do we really go here?
Well, this is why I thought I'd open with that, just to sort of garner some attention. I think it was at the Roundhouse. It might have been Bristol. I think it was Bristol. I think it was the last show. Anyway, it was after the show, people filing out. I needed the loo. I went to the loo. And there were a couple of guys in there washing their hands. And one of them was talking very loudly. Okay. And it was just after the show had finished. I can't remember the exact words, but it's suffice to say that neither of these two guys, who clearly didn't know each other, they just become, bathroom buddies. Okay. And not in a weird way. Just talking because they're probably slightly inebriated. And they were going, it was a conversation filled with superlatives. Like, fucking amazing. And I love their voices. I love his growls. I love her voice. It was so much energy. The costumes, the lighting, everything. It was just two regular Joes, like you or I, just talking this thing out, and they'll both agree with her. And it was, and they're like, oh, fucking immense. I'm definitely coming again. And they kind of walked out. And I was like, how cool is that? It's the most honest review. You know, it was these two guys that had either never seen him before or hadn't seen him for a long time, come in, and they were just blown away by this, what they'd seen. And they felt the need to tell someone. It just happened to be the person washing their hands next to them in the the gents' toilets directly after the show. And they were like, see ya, have a good night. And they both went away happy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a real highlight for me. And I was like, yeah, that was cool. Do you know what I mean? It was just these two guys. So, sorry, I jumped in. I just couldn't help myself.
That is a good summary, isn't it?
Yeah, it was great. I need to see it a lot. So many people kind of coming to the shows. A lot of them rediscovering it, I think. Rediscovering Lacuna Core. A number of times I hear people go, I haven't seen them since 2008 or 2006 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like what might have happened is their transition away from the kind of the European gothic metal into a more classic American rock sound, they'd sort of lost a few fans on the way, and now as they've found a different kind of sound again in the, I want to say, post Broken Crown Halo world of Delirium and Black Anima, and now into Sleepless Empire, I feel like they're getting the fans that they had in 20, you know, in the kind of Karma Code, Comalize era, and they're getting them back again.
Yeah, you know what also helps, I suppose, with that transition is people's lives in general, because you've got a big divide between when you were listening to music, if you're, I don't know, 15 to 20 or something like that, Karma Code.
Yeah.
And now you've got people in the 40s when they've got either more disposable income or more time on their hands.
That's also true. Yeah.
And they're rediscovering what they used to like. And hang on a minute, my favourite band then is still around now.
Let's go see them.
See what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I did. Anyway, that was just, apologies for jumping in, but I couldn't hold back when you were talking about consistency and stuff, because it did feel like these guys were enjoying the energy. So what are the highlights for you? From a sort of set list perspective, Dave, was there anything that kind of, what was your...
All big... four singles... the new songs sounded great.
Yes.
Never Dawn. I when it was released, it wasn't my favourite song.
Mm-hmm.
As a comparison, when they had released House of Shame as the first song off a new album, like the drop in, this is going to represent our new album. Yeah, House of Shame came out, and it was like, fucking hell, blew me away. And it happened again with Layers of Time. It was like, this is the first song. This is how we're introducing a new album. And it was like, yeah, floored me. Brilliant. Perfect. Yeah. Never Dawn came out. I was expecting another Layers of Time, and I didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
However, when they're playing it now live, especially where it's placed within the set, which I think promotes it as a bigger song, it really, does sound immense.
It's the final song of the main set before the...
Yes, encore. Yeah, it's the big closer.
Yeah.
And it really, really works. So Never Dawn is a bit of a surprise highlight for me, I think.
Okay, yeah.
So we'll go with that. All the new songs, the choruses are fantastic, and they really come across well live.
Yeah.
So all the new songs, I think, for me, were a good highlight. And going back to Layers of Time as well, that always makes me smile a great deal when the crowd just roars that Layers of Time, that first line. It's like, oh yeah, that feels good.
It shivers up the spine.
Yeah.
Layers of Time, shivers up the spine. There you go.
That's it.
Fair enough. Any other highlights you want to kind of call out?
The energy, certainly, on stage, when they're running around, certainly Bournemouth, as because it was the first show, I suppose, so you know, everything's new, but it was very apparent that I don't know what they'd been eating, whole bags of Haribo, I think, because they were they seemed hyper on stage, and they were just sort of running around an awful lot, you know, swapping places, jumping up on the front, and it was visually active all the way through. So, you know, it made me worn out just watching them.
Fair enough. Mike, what about you? What are your kind of highlights? Give us a view.
I think Belfast for me, because I did Belfast and Dublin before I joined you guys. So Belfast, as far as I'm aware, it's the first time they've been back since the Half-Life tour 24 years ago. And it was absolutely, for the opening night of the tour, and for a band that's not been to a city for that long, it was absolutely packed, which was incredible for a tour opener.
Yeah.
Dublin, always a good show. I think that's the third time I've seen them there, maybe. Second or third.
I've seen them once in Dublin, so yeah. But I think you definitely say it must be the third time, at least.
Yeah. And then, join you guys, highlight of as ever doing the road trip experience. I think Manchester was a very strong show. I also think London, it's possibly the best London show that I've seen, certainly for a very long time. I think what makes it work is they started off with a projector doing the stuff in the background, the visuals, and then they upgraded that to LED and an even bigger all singing, all dancing LED for the Roundhouse show. Yeah. And we've not seen that since the Survive Tour in 2010. So I think moving forward as a stage show, that would be more welcome than not using it now that you've done it, or maybe do it every other tour possibly. I think it adds the extra rump to them, especially with the video where they're all zombified. I think that's I think it's a stunning job that they've done, and with the lights as well, having Wolfie back. What else? My only gripe, I think, I love the new singles, as Dave's mentioned, Oxygen. I think the debut of that works really well.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And as a stage presence, now that they've got the risers back, I think that gives them added...
So just for those people who don't know what the risers are, you mean there's sort of this step up right in front of the front speakers.
Yeah, sorry.
So Christina and Andrea can kind of walk along in a heightened... Like, so you can see them, we're quite high up and they're walking back and forth. Right?
Yeah. Just, I think that gives the new dimension that they're actually over and in the crowd with you. I mean, I love being at the front, as you know, for the shows. And I think that's the interaction that I feel between stage and audience.
Yeah.
And I also, I was going back to it. My only gripe is, I think that if you see multiple shows on multiple tours, the set list for me, I would chop and change some things off it now.
Yeah, you see, I kind of defend the set list because we are not your average Lacuna Core fan.
Yes, we're elite people.
No, we're not elite. We're just fucking nerds. No. All right, we are fanatic.
Wrong choice of words.
We're not elites. We are basically mad.
I'd drop one or two out. I mean, Trip the Darkness, possibly. I mean, I'd love to see something like Fragile back on there again. Fragile, but the danger is...
Yeah, for sure.
The danger I find now is that unless you've followed them for an awfully long time, even Karmaco is coming up to 20 years. So unless you're of the thing where you've grown up with them, it's very difficult, I think, for them to slot things in now that... Like when they did Honeymoon Suite a long time ago and then reintroduced it. Even if they did 119, everybody would go bananas if you followed them for 20 years.
Yeah.
I think it's very difficult.
I'll tell you what you could drop is enjoy the fucking silence.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah.
I was waiting for that, Dave. Yes, they did have Enjoy the Silence. And I'm one of these people that will say they don't need that song, but... They get a great reaction, don't they? And
they should wheel it out for me. They should just wheel it out in for a special occasion like London, where they've added two extra songs.
Yeah, I think we didn't need to see it the entire tour. I do think London, you could see there were people there that weren't hardcore Lacuna Core fans. Yeah. There might be people that go to every Groundhouse gig, or they bought it because they know they're quite a big band. And they were like, I might not know the lyrics to all these songs, but I know the lyrics to this one, and it creates a real party vibe. Do you know what I mean? And it's, and of the covers that they've done, it's definitely the most singable. You know, I suppose you could sing along to Losing My Religion.
And it's, or Live to Tell, maybe.
Nah, it's not really a sing-along. It's not really a sing-along. No, exactly. But Enjoy the Silence is definitely a sing-along.
Yeah.
Which I do agree with, but I also would defend their own songs and think if they need a big sing along song, they've got Heaven's a Lie, they've got Swamped,
and they play them as well, so they like the sing along.
Yeah, so they do not need Enjoy the Silence. Play it at festivals, maybe.
I think we're always debating this one. So
there's no debate. I'm right.
Enjoy the Silence, yes or no?
There's one more thing as well. I think should be the biggest highlight of all of them is that the guitarist as a guest, Daniele on the tour. He's as proud as punch doing those gigs, and the reception for him was fantastic.
Yes, and that's very true.
I hope he gets him again in future, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, he's not, you know, we don't know yet if he's fully confirmed as a fully fledged member of Lacuna Coil. You know, I think he's on trial, shall we say? And I mean that in a kind of a good way rather than a bad way. I think they're taking their time deciding what they want to do. But I agree with you. I mean, he fits, doesn't he? You know, firstly, he's a lovely guy. He's so adorable. You just want to give him a hug, right? He's so adorable. And he fits in really well. He's got a massive sense of humour. Mm. On stage, you can see his sense of humour. As he got more and more relaxed, you could see he was absolutely enjoying himself. He was like a pig in the proverbial shit up there on that stage, wasn't he? He was absolutely...
London, he was absolutely bricking it.
Kid in a candy store. I don't know if you guys noticed it, but in London, there was the VIP. In the roundhouse.
Yeah.
And he joined the queue.
Yeah.
Right? He got something off me to sign. He said, Matt, have you got something you can sign? I was like, yeah, I'll give him that. And he kind of put this hood up because obviously it was Mackie and Christina and Andrea and Richard, and they were forming the four people that you could meet in the signing on the signing bench, right? And he joined the queue. He kept his hood down so that he could walk up and just kind of do the big reveal and get something signed, which, of course, was a funny moment.
Yeah,
just
kind of
a reflection of his kind of both the admiration he has for the band and his own sense of humour. So, no, I was going to actually call out Danny was a great choice for playing the shows. And he's a good poser on stage as well.
He's got it all, the full package with it.
Yeah.
He certainly didn't seem awkward on stage, did he?
No, not at all. No,
he was very nervous. Certainly the Irish shows, you could tell that it's like rabbit in the headlights almost. But once you start three songs in, it's like, whatever, get on with it.
Which show was it? The song was called Play Heaven's a Lion. God, I don't know that one.
That was Spellbound, wasn't it?
Was it Spellbound?
It was the first night.
It was Spellbound, Bournemouth.
Yeah, there was a group of them, wasn't it? About five or six people going Spellbound.
Because it was quite
a brilliant thing, the absolutely fucking brilliant thing. Creed called them out on it and said, all right, okay, we're not going to play it, thankfully for Danny, because like you say, he was looking petrified because he didn't know it.
Yeah, he didn't know that song.
And Creed goes, all right, I'll do it a cappella then. So she starts singing, gives them the prompt, and they didn't know the rest of it to fill in the blanks. They will screw you guys then.
Yeah, it's like,
request a song and you can't even sing along to it.
Oh dear. Yeah, I was happy. So set list wise, we talked about the new singles. Any other highlights for you, Mike?
Beneficium. I always say that should be on the set list forever. Mm-hmm. I think up until this, the new singles, I would say it's one of the best songs you've ever produced. With the smoke now on stage while she's on the riser, and visually with this light setup that we got from Wolfie, I think it's incredible.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I got a lot of love for Beneficium. There's a very small part of my brain that feels it's a little bit in the same place as Entwined, based on the COVID karaoke that we sang it a hell of a lot during the COVID karaoke. And I'm like, that doesn't stop me from loving it.
But it's
been
done
today. We have sung it along the COVID
carrier. A bit like Enjoy the Silence.
Okay, so anything else you want to add? Your reflections on the tour?
Thank you to and everybody else that joined us. That it was a fantastic experience, and we'll see what the future holds with the next 18 months, because I think we're going to be very busy.
Yeah, we do have a drive, don't we, up and down the country?
Yeah.
on the M6. I think I can blame Lacuna Call for more trips on the M6 than any other reason, I think, up and down the M6.
Yeah.
Time and time again, stopping off a tea bay for a pie.
Well, exactly.
Where it's got to be down here, really. Get yourself a sausage roll and all that kind of stuff.
I'll tell you what, actually, you say about, you've been bigging up tea bay services for years and years and years, and I finally got to experience this wonder. And it was great. It was great. However, on the way home from Bristol, we called in a different services because we saw, specifically because we saw a sign that said farm shop. So we've done one, we'll do another one. And it's owned by the same company. I think.
Yeah, we stopped at it. Place. Yeah, we stopped at it on the way. We stopped on the way down. It was a bit off a beaten track, wasn't it? You had to come off the motorway and go down a few roads, but it was, you know, a wooded area. Yeah, it was the same company. It was like a
swap. And that was even better. So I'm hooked on farm shop services.
I mean, it was. Until this tour, I thought there was only one farm shop and it was in Tebow, but apparently they're big enough now to have opened up another one, and it was just as good. We went there for a coffee and we bought more biscuits, didn't we?
Tebow was even bigger, though. It's been extended since the last tour.
This is becoming the Tebow Lovers podcast.
Maybe there is one.
I'm guaranteeing there's a Facebook group or something, a subreddit somewhere about Tebow. So my reflections on the tour. You guys have said a lot already. Let me think. I guess I want to highlight again the visuals. I feel like the difference between a backdrop and an animation or a video is the difference between a kind of a double A act and a triple A act. Do you know what I mean? When you get the big headliners, they don't just have a big sheet with their name or their logo. And Lacuna Call have rarely done anything but a big sheet with their name or their logo. So this tour, it really felt like it was elevated. Mm-hmm. And they clearly, the band and all the people that involved in the production, put a lot of effort into this. You know, there was the lyrics coming up on the screen. There was unique video. I love the Never Dawn stuff as the sun rises behind it, or whatever you want to do, whatever I call it. It's definitely some graphics that we hadn't seen before. And as you said, Mike, there was various videos where someone had gone over and turned them into zombies, right? When they were, I think it was Tightrope, I think, was one. They got turned to zombies. And I want to say In the Meantime. Yeah, I think it was. I don't think it was Oxygen. I think it was Tightrope and In the Meantime. And it just worked. It just worked so damn well. I love that. It really gave a kind of a special vibe about the show. It elevated it to feeling like a triple A band up there with all the visuals. As you say, Wolfie's returned on this. So those who don't know Richard Wolfgang, Wolfie is the lighting engineer, technician. I'm sure, I think he's called himself a designer, lighting designer. So he put all that together and... you said in the on least one show you stood back and watched from the front of house sort of area. That's the place to watch it for lighting. I don't think you get a real, you can tell bad lighting, but you can't really tell just how good lighting is unless you get a better sort of view of the audience and the lights and the stage. And I stood at the Roundhouse for quite a few shows at front of house and really enjoyed seeing I took some photos because Wolfie asked me if I take some photos of the lighting for him, so I made a point of standing in the right place to see it all, and it was great. I think the lighting generally was really good. I still think the best lighting was probably Bristol for me. That was annoying because that was the only show that I didn't take my camera to, because that was the show I determined that I was going to just be in the crowd rather than be in the pit or at the side or whatever. So I didn't have my camera on me, so I just sort of stood at the front going, wow, there's really good lighting here. And god damn it. I'm not getting the photos. So, you know, I'm not taking photos, taking advantage of this. I love the energy of the show. It always amazes me how they manage to put so much energy into the show and so much of their own character into it as well. You know, if you know them personally, you sort of see that reflected. They are on stage who they are elsewhere. Do you know what I mean?
Amplified.
Just amplified. You see their personalities come through, and that's really great to see, and the humour and so forth. I think from setlist perspective, my highlights Never Dawn, for the reasons that you said. I mean, I think all of the new songs are better live than when I heard them. But I pretty much say that all the time with Lacuna Coil. I really do. I'm convinced that since Karma Code, they recorded songs just so that they could have fun playing them live. Yeah. And they always have a Fragile, perfect song. Fragments of Faith on Karma Code is almost skippable for me. Okay, after having heard it hundreds of times, pretty much is skippable. But if they play Fragments of Faith live, I am totally there. I love that song so much live. It just got a different kind of vibe about it. I love it. They need to bring that back. Please bring back Fragments of Faith.
It's giving them life, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. It really is. What else? Heaven's a Lie. Sorry, I'm not going to apologise for this. Heaven's a Lie at XX has absolutely resurrected Heaven's a Lie for me. I feel a bit disappointed for those people who kind of are expecting the older version.
I was going to say that I can't remember which show it was.
It was a guy singing the chorus.
Yeah, but there was...
I think that was Bristol.
My biggest gripe of the tour, possibly.
That was your biggest gripe, that it wasn't what?
The people, there was a good section of the crowd who were singing the old version over the top while they were playing the new version back. And it was grating in my head.
Was it Bristol? I can't remember if it was Bristol. I don't think it was Bristol, because I'm sure. Was it Bristol?
Been Nottingham, maybe.
It might have been Nottingham. Mm. I'm just trying to remember when I heard it, whether I was in the crowd, which would have been Bristol, or whether or not I was at the side of the stage or in the pit, which meant it would have been one of the other shows.
Mm.
But no, I think it was Bristol. I think I was in the crowd. You were standing right behind me, Dave. And off to my left over there, it wasn't a large contingent, but there were a loud group of people.
I think it's perhaps because they were close.
Yeah, they were quite close, singing Heaven's a Lie, the original one. And I know it was grated, but I thought it was great. I love it. I love the idea. And it was the fact that they must have planned it, because there was a group of them. They're like, we are absolutely not going to sing Heaven's a Lie XX. We are absolutely going to sing Heaven's a Lie. It was totally obvious. I loved it. I thought that was really good.
I appreciate your resolve, sirs, but please stop.
Yeah, it was great. It was great. It's like people, you know, playing your favorite music on their phone on the tube. You're like, I like that music, but I don't need to hear it now. I that's just made me giggle again, actually. What else? I think the set list is fine, if I'm honest with you, Mike. I know you would change a few things. Mm. Looking at it again now, Apocalypse. You know, we got a good. It's definitely mostly this last two albums, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love how Blood, Tears, Dust is definitely a stayer, isn't it? It's been there.
I really like that.
I think you said that's going to be on the set list for a long time, and I think they've proven you right there. Well, the weaker ones for me, it's hard to tell, actually. Now or Never, maybe. That's quite good. It's not my favourite song off of... Black Anima, but it's quite good. Like seeing that. And Reckless. So Reckless is an interesting one for me. Mm. It's not one of those ones that's got that kind of pace. We said it before when we reviewed it. It's got that kind of chugging. It's quite a do, 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 do. Do you know it's that? It's not got that, for me, that live energy. But I don't know whether or not
I think with Reckless, I might have said at the time, after one of the shows, that I feel Reckless now is kind of like Closer was for Karma Code, in that it's disjointed from the rest of the set. I think I described it as like the pop song of the time, which I know is this bit of a not entirely accurate, I suppose, as a description, but it doesn't flow as well. It's an isolated song in the set, whereas the others all, they have similar vibes and they can flow better. Reckless does stand out as a bit of a monolith.
Yeah, I think that. I'm not sure if I describe it as a monolith, but I know what you mean. Definitely does feel different. It's the second song, so it's quite early on in the second set list, isn't it? You know, you've got Blood, Tears, Dust, you've got Reckless, you've got Trip to Darkness, which is, you know, by definition now one of the older songs by a long way, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But always a crowd pleaser. I remember that third song comes on, and the crowd definitely lifts up when they hear the first few bars of Trip to Darkness coming on. And to be fair, it's exactly the same with Nothing Stands in Our Way. That song is now entering into the realms, I should say, of the crowd expected to be there in a Lacuna Call.
Yeah, that Heaven's a Lie. It's the same. It's in that category now, I think.
And you will, you know, when they talk about Nothing Stands in Our Way and We Fear Nothing, and it's I'm not saying I don't miss Daylight Dancer. We always talk about Daylight Dancer and, you know, get your coat, Daylight Dancer's on. But I actually think as a song to end a show, Nothing Stands in Our Way is perfect because it's an uplifting song.
Yeah. Yeah, written for the end, wasn't it?
It almost feels like it's a song to leave your audience with a sense of well-being, a sense of, I don't know what the right words to say here. Yeah, it is a virtual hug. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. You know, and Christina always comes up and says, you know, this is a special song to us and We Fear Nothing. And, you know, We Fear Nothing gets the crowd geared up. Everybody knows what's coming. And then you get, they've got better over the years. When they first did it, they'd be like, We Fear Nothing. And then they'd wait about, there'd be that silence for 3 seconds before it started. They'd be like, what's going on now? I remember that. Those silences would last forever when they're waving at the start. But now it's absolutely got that down to a T. We Fear Nothing. And she says, nothing stands in, you know, our way, making it clear that it's not just the band, it's everybody there as well. And then suddenly you get the bars start, the bars of the song, and boom, it'll be up and it'll go. You know, it was just a really uplifting song, right? And that's a highlight, for sure a highlight. So overall, yeah, I'm quite happy with the tour.
How do you think, like, we've seen multiple tours now for since forever, how do you see it in terms of where you would see it as, I don't know, which is the best tour, not the best tour, if that's the word.
That's a really hard question to answer, because my memory's not great, so I'll be the one I'll be most familiar with. Will be the most recent tour. I'm going to exclude the 119 shows. The multiple 119 shows, because they were of themselves unique. I'm also going to exclude the really early shows where I was very much a little kid at a Lacuna Call show. It was the best thing ever, right? You know, the Astoria show in 2003 and all that. You know, download show. I think that this is definitely up there. The one it compares really well with to me is the Delirium tour.
That's what I'm thinking.
Now, I love the Delirium tour. And I love the Delirium tour for the selection of songs. And I love the Delirium tour for the outfits as well. Remember, it was all the black straps.
The visuals.
And if I look back at the photos I've taken, my favourite photos are still the ones from the Delirium tour. Because I thought the lighting, the set, because they had the cages with the masks on them and, you know, all that kind of... It had all of that. I loved that, and I think the selection of songs was amazing. I don't want to take anything away from the Black Anima stuff either that we've seen.
I haven't seen
a lot of it.
But I'm just curious because COVID hit, didn't it? And only got a flavour of the Black Anima tour.
Yes.
And then Comb Lies XX came out, and it was like there was this little bit of a void for me where they had almost unfinished business with the touring cycle, and they then jumped into another one.
Yes, yes.
So they've not missed out because they've then done the bar's gone very, very high with what.
Yeah, I think we said it before. I do think Black Adam probably got it did get a bit of a disservice, didn't it?
Yeah.
Because of COVID, you know, it didn't get the full tourism it deserved. And when I look at the songs from Black Adam and what we got, Reckless, Apocalypse, Layers of Time, Sword of Anger, Now or Never, Veneficium. That's actually quite a lot if you think about it. They've got more from Black Adam than they've got from any of their other albums. So in some respects, they're still touring that album. It's called In the Meantime, but they absolutely this is a tour in the Black Adam album still, and it's hard to. There have been other albums. You know, we've had Live at the Apocalypse, which was an album, right? Okay, we've got it. And of course, we've had Comalize XX, which was an album. But realistically, their last main release was Black Anima. So they're still touring the new songs from there. New old songs. So.
Or all new.
A great tour. I'd like to think that everybody who went to see it had a really, really good time. I don't remember anybody getting into a big fight or a bit ruckus about it, which is good. It was great to hang out with you guys. It was great to see so many people on the road as well. A few late nights, a KFC here or there.
Lots of Ribena.
The Beena buddies. I don't know what's wrong with you people, but your Beena buddies. There was
drinking it now, yes.
Yeah, oh, of course you are.
Got it here, yes.
He is as well. Matt actually does have some Beena with him. So it was great. I'm over it. That is to say, I'm not crying myself to sleep every night, wishing I could still be there. But I definitely had the blues, as I think we all do. And I can't wait till next time.
Absolutely.
So there we go. This brings us on to our review. We're in the dizzy heights, the back end now of Comalize, as we are going to review The Prophet Said, XX, the 11th track on the album. I have to rethink that, counting up. I think it's about the 11th track if you make sure that Aeon and Tightrope are different tracks. That means we've only got two more after this, Angel's Punishment and Comalize, XX, to finish us. So we're definitely on the home straight. We first reviewed this way back in January 2014, so 10 years ago. Well done, everybody. Nearly 11 years ago, in episode 48 of the Empty Spiral podcast. So I'm going to start with Dave, if you don't mind. Dave, give me your thoughts on The Prophet Said XX.
Originally on the original Comalize album, Prophet Said and Angel's Punishment are pretty much a pair of songs for me.
Okay.
And unfortunately, a pair of songs I wash over mostly.
Okay.
I didn't have a lot of time or love for them. That's just the blunt facts. They were there. I heard them a few times. And that's about the extent of my passion. Okay. There's a vast difference, I think, right from the off with the XX version, because the beginning has completely shifted. We had an Andrea solo, essentially, going straight into the verse on the original. But now we've got a more atmospheric build-up with Christina doing the Leo, Leo. It's not chanting, is it? But it's just a melody line.
This is my harmony, etc.
Yep. And it's a full 40 seconds long. I think that's right. And the dynamics of the song right from the off is like, is this even the same song? I mean, it obviously is, because there's key elements there.
I'm not convinced it is, but anyway, you're
here. So, I mean, as reworkings go, this is a dramatic one, I think. You've got a faster, heavier drum when it does sort of kick into this second gear after that, those first 40 seconds. And there's the, I suppose, a full pelt, full speed, melodic heaviness with Andrea's verse when he comes in. It's obviously more in keeping with the XX Andrea that we know now through this album. It's very different. But honestly, I think this is probably one of Andrea's highlights vocally on this album, just in that, in this verse, or the two verses. It's not just the brutal growling. It's got that sense of melody that's weaved into it. And I can't really remember it being highlighted in that way on other songs on XX. I might have to go back and sort of really do some tight-knit comparisons, but this one kind of stands out. So I think as a vocal highlight for Andrea, this is great.
Okay.
Interestingly, that the position of those verses have been shifted around, though. So, like I say, deconstructing it and reassembling it, it's very noticeable. Then you got the almost a pseudo calmness when Christina says the "This is my harmony," that refrain. So it's got the retained melody of the original, but it's actually changed up as well in the last chorus, isn't it? So you got that that tone shift as well. But essentially the spirit of the original in terms of melody has been kept there, but it's been reweaved.
For sure.
Is
this the horror movie version?
No, it's okay. Not. It's far more beautiful than that.
You said that a few times, but
yes, yeah, normally it is. It's very more horror and sci-fi the way they've done it. But this one I wouldn't say is. Because although it's a lot heavier in places, it's not a horror heavy. That's interesting, actually. I hadn't allocated it a film genre for this one. I'm gonna have to go back and think about this.
Yeah, what's going on there?
I've not done my homework, reason. Have I?
what
film genre would this song be? That is an interesting one.
Psychological thriller.
Okay, there we go.
I've just decided off the top of my head it's a psychological thriller.
I mean, it certainly trimmed the fat from the original as well, because it's like about a minute shorter.
Pretty much, yeah. 4:32 versus 3:38, I think it is, for the new version.
Yeah.
But yeah, almost a whole minute trimmed.
Yeah, and perhaps that was my problem with the original version. It was that minute too long. Did it stretch out an idea beyond its capacity?
This definitely pile drives, you know, the other one tickled you. This one pile drives into your ear, doesn't it? Just boom, it's there. Yeah.
It was a lot more efficient.
It's definitely more efficient, for sure. Yeah. Fair enough. Any other points you want to make, Dave?
No, I think I like the way they've kept the essence, but done what they set out to do, which was rebuild it in a better way. But no, I think my ultimate highlight would be Andrea's vocals, because I think it's a good performance in this. And the fact that they have reallocated the structure to make the melody stronger without changing it.
Yeah, that's true.
And it's still far from my favourite song on the album, but it's far more interesting now than it was before.
Mm. Okay. My thoughts. I like eggs. Okay. And the thing I know about eggs is they're really versatile. Did you know that the same thing, an egg, you put in a cake or more a meringue as you put in an omelette? Did you know that?
It's fascinating fact.
I just thought I'd throw that in there because I realise you can do the same with music. Because this bears so little resemblance with the original when I first heard it. I'm never convinced it wasn't a different song, but it's absolutely been reworked from scratch. It's been totally deconstructed. And, you know, what I'm basically saying is you take all the ingredients of a song and you mix up in a different way, you can end up with a very different piece of music. And that's what they've done here. Firstly, it's worth remembering that the original Prophet song was essentially two different songs, cut and shut together like two ends of a car. Right, Mackie's already said that, admitted to that best of four. Right, you've got the first half with the light of my sun, light of my temple, all of that stuff. Can't you see I am here inside you? All that kind of stuff. And then you've got the second bit, which is, this is my harmony, I'm in your heart again, this is the place to live. Where, and then rinse and repeat for another minute until it's over. Right. Two different songs slammed together. Okay, but the Venn diagram between them is not very big. They're like two bubbles, but this one, layered, completely layered. The fact that it opens with "This is my harmony" tells you from the outset that they've taken the back end of one song and brought it to the front of the other song. The underlying melody from the second half of a Prophet Said now forms the underlying melody throughout the entire song, and the lyrics have been beefed up to, as you say, give Andy a great vocal performance, growling all the way through this with a few breaks for Christina to try to be heard through this song. And that is the new Prophet Said XX. Completely different, but the same, because you can tell that they both have the same root. It's like when people say we evolved from monkeys, and we go, no, we didn't. We didn't evolve. If we evolved from monkeys, why are they still monkeys? Because we didn't evolve from monkeys. We both evolved from a common ancestor. And it feels like somewhere out there is this common ancestor called Prophet Said version 0.1. And these two songs evolved from that, but they've gone off on different evolutionary branches. I'm mixing all of my weird metaphors, but it's the only way I can get across how I feel about this Darwinism that is the survival of the fittest, that is Prophet Said.
And I'm a little bit confused. Is it an egg or is it a monkey?
Yes. Yes, it, absolutely. It's an egg, a monkey, a human, and all these things that represent part of an evolution or diversity. Because this shows the level of diversity that Lacuna Core can take to their music. And let's just think this through. What we're talking about here is Marco, pretty much, looked at a Prophet Said, a song that had been around for, call it 20 years or thereabouts, and went, I'm going to redo this. And he'd taken all of the bits that made that song and he changed them all around and made it different and laid it down. And he didn't have the ego to go, that's my favourite child, I'm not going to do that. He wasn't afraid to do that with any of those songs. But with this song, most obviously for me, from all of the songs on Comanize XX, he deconstructed it and put it back together in different ways to create the vision of what he thought the song should be today.
That's where his experience in being a chef comes into play, because
because
he did look at it, at the element as ingredients, and he literally baked a new cake.
That's a question only he can answer. We'll have to corner him and get him to tell us whether his composition of music and his composition of food comes from the same part of his brain. Maybe it is. I don't know. Eggs, pasta, and a Prophet Said XX. Maybe that's the that's how this actually plays out. But no, so very, very different. I like the opening. I think it's far punchier. It gets to the point. It reminds you of its roots. That is, this is still the Prophet Said XX. Is it better than the original? I think it is. I think the point where you say, it's more interesting and it doesn't outstay its welcome, I think that elevates it in my eyes. I didn't have a real problem with the original. Not my favourite song. Probably my least favourite song on the original Comanize. It's definitely not my favourite song on this one, but it doesn't feel like it's lagging behind anymore. It definitely feels like it's been given a boost of life. And I don't skip it, maybe because it's still new in my eyes and I haven't listened to it the hundreds of times that I've listened to the original. But I think the fact that it's 3 minutes and 32 or 38 or whatever it is, 3:38 rather than 4:32, and it doesn't suffer from what I think a few songs on the original Comanize, which is there where they have a slow play out. You know, it creates that kind of more gothic, melodic sound, which of course a lot of people miss. And it has the chugging guitars. The original's got the chugging guitars, which we know of. quite a lot in Coma Lines. This one doesn't have that. It goes straight in there. It's punchy. It goes in there. It gets the job done, and it's over, and you're on to the next song. Maybe that's just a reflection of life in the 2020s rather than life in the early noughties, right? You know, everything's moved at a faster pace. But that is to me what
pandering to a shorter attention span.
Yeah, maybe that's true. What I don't think he does is I don't think he loses any of the messaging in it. But it tells the same story in a different way, which I quite like.
Mm.
So yeah, that's kind of me on this. Eggs and monkeys. Eggs and monkeys, or the evolution of man. There you go. That's where I went. I have no idea why I ended up in that space, guys, but there we go. We've got Darwinism, survival of the fittest, and the versatility of an egg in cooking are what I think of the Prophet Said Eggs Eggs. All the Prophet Said. Mike, your thoughts? Back, follow that one, mate. Go on, I dare you. Shaking his head.
It's no longer raw cake mix. It's yeah. Cake with icing on top. No, you've covered it both of you with what you've said. I really love it. It's one of my favourites? It's very high up there on the album for me. Especially with, I think it's the melody that links it, kind of a wink to the past, as well as being obviously now in the future and more modern. But Andy's vocals is what does it for me.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Scores-wise, what are you going to give it? Dave? Dave, what would you give The Prophet Said out of 10, the original?
Okay, right. Before I say this, can I just make it clear? Whenever I give scores, this is not relative to any other band. It is only scores out of 10 within Lacuna Coil songs.
Okay.
So if I give something a harsher score, it's not that it's a bad song, because it's still 80% better than any other songs written by other bands.
I get that. I'm totally on board with it. Yeah.
So the original would have been a 4.
Okay. I can tell you right now, when I talked about this in episode 48, I said my first thought was to give this song a 5 out of 10. So it's same like you. I do think it's relative to I didn't. I gave it slightly higher, but I didn't give it a high score. So, okay. So 4 out of 10 for The Prophet Said, the original song from 2002. What about now? What about Prophet Said XX?
It's definitely better. It's the improvement because it's more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, holistically, it's just more engaging. But because it's not my favourite song on the album, it's probably not going to go higher than a 6.
Okay. 6 out of 10.
So I'll stick with a 6, because I think to give it higher than that would make it compete more against others that, you know, I think are actually better songs than this. And I don't want to get too close.
Here's a question for you. When you gave Prophet Said 4 out of 10, are you comparing it to all Lacuna Coil songs, or are you comparing it to other Lacuna Coil songs on the original Coma Lines?
All Lacuna Coil songs.
Okay, so when you give Prophet Said XX 6 out of 10, you're doing the same thing.
Yes.
Okay. I was just trying to hear what you were comparing it to, whether you were
putting not just within the album that it's on. It's
fair enough.
All Lacuna Coil songs. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Okay. So I gave the original 6 out of 10. I remember saying, well, I don't know, I used to remember, I listened to it earlier. I said I nearly gave it 5 out of 10, but after looking at the lyrics again, because we spent a little bit of time debating the meaning of the lyrics, which we've not done here, but that's by the way.
Are there meaning to the lyrics?
Not that we could find. There was prophet, and there was who is the prophet. That was our real question. Who represents the prophet in this scenario, and what are they actually saying? You know, that's the real question we debated. Anyway, I gave it 6 out of 10. This is better than that one. I think as a piece of music, it is better constructed. It doesn't feel like two very different songs shunted together with a kind of a badly formed feel at the centre. I'm going to give this a 7 out of 10. I think that feels about right to me. I like what they've done with it. It's punchier. Yeah, that's where I am at. Mike, what about you? The Prophet Said XX.
What did I give the original?
Oh, see, I'm not quite sure what I tell you before. Okay. I'm being rude. You gave it 6.5, actually, the original.
6.5. Okay. Hard to say. I do like it, but there are other things that...
You said it was one of your favourite songs on the album 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, but there are other things that trump it. I'll give it 7.5.
Okay, so it's gone up a bit.
Yeah.
The important thing, or important, is not, whether it's important or not is debatable, but the interesting thing is we all think that this version of The Prophecy is better than the original.
Mm.
Okay, so final question to you both on this subject. I think I know what the answer is going to be, but do you ever go back and listen to The Prophecy?
The original? Yeah. Rarely.
Rarely.
Don't remember the last time I did, to be honest.
Okay.
What about yourself?
I tend to listen to Lacuna Core albums rather than Lacuna Core songs. Very rarely do I go, oh, I must listen to this song.
Yeah.
So I tend to go, oh, I'm going to put Unleashed Memories on, or I'm going to put Carmel Eyes on. So it will be that I heard it, whether I listened to it, it could be debated, but I heard it the last time I listened to Carmel Eyes, which was probably a couple of weeks ago. I'd say that I listened to the original Carmel Eyes album. It's not one of the ones I kind of pick out and go, or it's on a liked list or anything like that. Okay, there we go. The Prophet Said. Eggs and Monkeys. Right. A cake, yeah. I think that brings us to a close on the Empty Spiral podcast for this week on episode 165. It's been a long one. We've said a lot. We've talked a lot. We've explored a lot. It's been awesome, as always, catching up with you guys. Whether we get another one in before Christmas is really down to our schedules. So whether or not we can catch Mr. Dyer in the UK, and whether I can find a spare evening, and whether Dave is not going to see another film at the cinema. I'm pretty sure he lives there, to be honest. He's always at the cinema. But in between all of that casual living our lives, we'll find time to talk again about Lacuna Core, I'm sure. So I just want to thank everybody for listening. I hope you enjoy the episode. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Don't forget to leave us a review or just put some stars in there. We're not YouTube, so we can't say like, subscribe, but you know what I mean. You know, show a bit of, give us a bit of feedback. Tell us what you think of us in the nicest possible way, we hope. If you want to be on the podcast, a lot of the times we've got fellow fans from across the world joining us to tell us about how they discovered Lacuna Core, what their favourite songs are and how they've influenced them and what it means to be part of the growing Lacuna Core family. It's always good to hear from fellow fans sharing their stories. So feel free to reach out to us via the Empty Spiral website or in one of the many Lacuna Core communities on Facebook or elsewhere on Instagram. If you start talking about Empty Spiral podcast, I'm sure someone will point us in our direction. And of course, via the Empty Spiral podcast, you can also join us on Discord if one of the funky kids that does Discord. So we look forward to speaking to you there if that is your flavour. I want to stop talking and just thank you again and say go and listen to more Lacuna Coil.
Cheers, everyone.
Cheery bye.